James in chapter number 5. James in chapter number 5. It's good to be back with you tonight. And I trust that each and every one of you had a good Sunday afternoon. And definitely, Brother Smart and I appreciate the good meal that we had over at the Smart's house. And then Brother Smart and I got to Memphis and got Brother Davis and got back safely. Had a good time of fellowship there. Glad to have Brother Davis here. Looking forward to hearing him preach as I always do. I want to get right into the message, and then I'll get out of the way and give Brother Davis plenty of time. I want to go a little bit more in depth of what I taught in the teen Sunday school some time back now. I guess maybe 6 or 7 months ago, I taught a little bit of this to the teenagers, but I want to go a little bit more in depth tonight to the church, and I want to preach on a subject that, that there's been many books written about the subject. There's been a lot of talk about the subject. There's been a lot of preaching about the subject, but I believe it's a subject that so many of us do very little of. And I want to talk about the subject of prayer tonight. I want to ask us a question tonight. Let me read the verses. Won't you stand with me? James chapter number 5. Look at verse number 17 with me tonight. James chapter 5 and verse number 17. The Bible says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, I want to ask us a question. I want to ask us two questions to start the service off, start the message off tonight. First question I ask us, I would like to see an uplifted hand in response as a testimony. And then the second question, let's ask ourselves this, or let's answer this question in our own heart. First question is this. How many of us would say tonight, Brother Dallas, I believe that we serve a prayer-answering God? How many of us would say that tonight? Second question is this. When's the last time God's answered one of your prayers? And let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and Lord, we certainly thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for saving us. Thank you for being so good to us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for answering the prayer of salvation. And dear God, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for not only being able to be saved by the grace of God, but Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you allow us to tell others how they can be saved. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the many people that you've allowed me to be able to lead to the Lord. Lord, in these 25 years now of being saved by the grace of God, and Lord, I thank you, Lord, for Charlie, Lord, that we were able to share the gospel with today. And Lord, how over at Brother and Miss Smart's house, Lord, he bowed his head and he bowed his heart and he called on you to save him today. And Lord, he may not realize it all. Lord, I still don't realize everything that happened the day that I got saved by the grace of God. But I can testify 25 years later, Lord, there's been a lot of good days since, but there never has been or there never will be a greater day than the day that you saved me by the grace of God. And Lord, I do come to you tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, including the one that's going to attempt to preach the message, and I pray for all of us tonight that we would find out what it is to even spend more time at your feet in this matter of prayer. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. What if you and I knew tonight that we could have power in our prayer life like the prophet Elijah? What if every single one of us knew tonight that our prayers could accomplish mighty and miraculous things like it did in the life of Elijah? And I believe tonight that's the truth that James gives us towards the close of his letter. We find the latter part of James chapter 5 and verse number 16. It connects us with verse number 17 and 18. The latter part of verse number 16 says this, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And James illustrates the great promise of prayer and answered prayer with the prophet Elijah. And he gives every one of us hope that we can pray with the same kind of power that Elijah did. Tonight, if you're here, and maybe somebody would refer to you as a modern-day prayer warrior, or maybe you would consider yourself very weak in prayer, I'm glad that James gives us instruction and encouragement for every single one of our prayer lives. If we're going to pray like a prophet, and we're going to have effective praying, there's some things that James gives us here in these verses to teach us and to instruct us how we too can pray with power. If you are taking notes tonight, I would say big point number one is this. Answered prayer or powerful praying is not in talent. It's not in talent. And boy, I sure am thankful for that. Amen. It's not in talent. My wife, for these last 15 years that we've been married, for 15 years, she's tried to get me to go to amusement parks. And I hate amusement parks. Amen. I'm sorry, Brother Snow. I know Brother Snow loves Disney World. He just came from there. And I dead sure not going to go back to an amusement park with Brother Davis. Some of you remember that story. And you reminded me of that today. But I hate amusement parks, but I love Nikita. So I've gone to a few amusement parks since we've been married. And every time we've gone to an amusement park, she's always wanted me to sit down and let the man or the lady draw a portrait of us and make us look like cartoon characters. And I've never given in until this past year. I finally gave in and let them draw a portrait of us. And it not only looks like us, but I look like Goofy as well, amen. But anyhow, when I can't even draw a stick man. But when I see somebody draw a beautiful portrait, there's no doubt that they have an unusual gift to draw that portrait. When I hear beautiful singing like I've heard sung here at Maranatha Baptist Church all day today, there's no doubt that that person or those people are using an unusual gift or a gift that God has given them for God's honor and for God's glory. But I think at times, I know I have, I've been tempted to look at people who seem to be strong in prayer, and I suppose that they must have some spiritual talent above and beyond what we could ever possess. But James assures us that that's not the case at all. I want us to look at verse number 17 again. He said, "Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are." That name, Elias, there, that's the Greek name for the Old Testament hero, Elijah the prophet. And James uses Elijah to encourage us in our own prayer lives. Under big point number one, where powerful praying is not in talent. Number one, or letter A, I consider Elijah's character, if you would. Think about Elijah's character for a minute with me, if you would. I believe with all my heart, if ancient Israel had a Mount Rushmore alongside Abraham and Moses and David, I believe with all my heart, there would be carved the face of Elijah, that prophet. Elijah's life story to me is one of the most fascinating stories in all the Bible. Consider just a few things that happened in Elijah's life through prayer. Elijah raised the widow's son from the dead. Elijah embarrassed the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, causing wet wood to catch fire. Elijah had meals personally catered by ravens when he was exiled by the brook. And on another occasion, Elijah lived for 40 days on one single meal. Elijah outran King Ahab's chariot from Mount Carmel to Jezreel. Elijah parted the Jordan River and crossed over it on dry ground. And at the end of his life, rather than dying, he was carried to heaven in a fiery chariot. in the New Testament. He appears again on the Mount of Transfiguration, talking with Moses and Jesus. And it's hard for me to imagine a life more exciting and a character more fascinating than Elijah that James references here in this text. Somebody here tonight may be saying, well, Brother Dallas, how is somebody like Elijah supposed to encourage me in my prayer life? Well, I'm glad you asked, because not only do I think, number one, about Elijah's character, but number two, as I read this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded, number two, Elijah was a common man, just like you and just like me. Look at verse number 17. James references Elijah here, and he says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. I want us to notice that phrase, like passions. It means to the same nature or the same sufferings. In other words, though Elijah's life was spectacular, he was still just a man like you and like me. I like what one commentator I read about this said. He said, James is not using some kind of Superman, some biological or spiritual giant to help in making his point. Instead, he's using a man just like you and just like me. Elijah was a man whose life was filled with miracles and mighty deeds, yes. But James indicates that the secret to the amazing life was not that Elijah was equipped with a special skill or an unusual ability. The powerful prayer life of Elijah wasn't dependent upon Elijah, but it was dependent upon the one that sits on the heavenly throne tonight. And that's the God of heaven, amen. Church, can we be reminded tonight, Elijah was a flawed and a fallen human being, just like all of us, yet he prayed to God and his prayers got answered. There's no special talent. With the access granted us by Jesus, I'm glad that every believer has the ability to pray with power. And the point that James is trying to make to us in this text is that we don't have to be perfect to pray. Flawed people like Elijah and like all of us have the opportunity and the ability to accomplish mighty things through prayer. You and I can pray like a prophet. You and I can have effective praying because prayer is not in talent. And may we be reminded as we read our Bible, we understand the Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. And God did not love brother Elijah more than he loves you and more than he loves me. And the same God that answered brother Elijah's prayer is the same God that can answer your prayer and answer my prayer as well. May we all be reminded tonight, the most supernatural prayer that God has ever answered in our lives or ever will answer in our lives was the day that we called upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save our soul. And the same great big God of heaven that answered that supernatural prayer of faith is the same great big God of heaven that can answer the needs that come along this journey called life as well. First of all, powerful praying is not in talent. But second of all, and here's where it gets a little bit tough. Powerful praying, number two, does take some toil. While prayer is not some sort of supernatural ability possessed by only a few saints, that doesn't mean that it's easy work. While every believer can pray with power and effectiveness, we all know that very few actually do. The old saying is certainly true of prayer. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it. There are times where I try to call my wife and she don't answer the phone. Some of you husbands say amen right there. And you call her and she don't answer the phone. Sometimes I'll call my parents or and they won't answer the phone. Sometimes I'll call Brother Davis and he may not answer the phone. But I'm glad tonight I never get a busy signal when I call the throne room of grace, amen. And can I say tonight, child of God, I'm glad when it comes to God spending time with His children in prayer. I'm glad that sweet hour prayer is not just a song we have to sing in a church service, but thank God it can be a reality in every one of our lives, amen. Powerful praying does take some toil. You and I can pray like a prophet. We can have effective prayer lives, but we need to know right up front that prayer is hard work. It's not a simple task. What is it that makes prayer hard work? Can I say, first of all, It takes passion. I want you to look back at verse number 16. Look at verse number 16. James said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That word effectual there, it gives us our English word for energy or energetic. It literally means to work or to be active. It's that active, energetic praying that was practiced by Elijah the prophet. And James says in verse number 17 that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. What James was literally saying is that Elijah prayed with passion, which was a way in the Greek language of describing the intensity of his prayer. That night that I walked into that Bethel Baptist Church of Walls, Mississippi, and I was lost, and my life was wrecked and ruined because of sin, and I was headed straight to that awful, dreadful place called hell. But thank God somebody shared the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with me. And that night when I prayed to God, I prayed with intensity and asked God to save me by the grace of God. But I'm thankful tonight that's not the only prayer that God wants to answer in my lives. But sometimes if we're going to get those prayers answered, we're going to have to pray with passion. Can I say tonight, child of God, I guarantee you, anyone under the sound of my voice that's faithful to the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, faithful to read the Word of God, faithful to pray, faithful to God, I'm sure that it's come off your lips in even recent days, God send revival to America. But I believe many times when we're asking God to send revival, even God's children that are faithful to the house of God, many times what we mean is this: God, keep the economy strong. God, keep my 401k intact. God, don't let them mess with my medical insurance. And can I say I'm thankful for all those things too, my friend? But can I say you and I are not going to be powerful in our prayer lives, and we're not going to have a prayer life like a prophet as long as we offer to God shallow and sleepy and stoic and stale prayers with no heart and with no passion. No, my friend, I'm going to tell you, when God will send revival, when His people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek the face of God with some passion. Amen. When the Lord prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before He went to the cross for our sin, Luke tells us that being in agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The writer of Hebrews says that Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. In other words, our Lord prayed with passion. And for many people, their prayers are more like the lyrics to a song if they have memorized than the fervent prayers, cries of a desperate soul. Can I say tonight, every now and then, if we're going to want a powerful prayer life, we're going to have to pray with some passion. Not only passion, but look at it, number two, look at verse number 16. He said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you and I are going to have powerful prayer lives, not only are we going to have to pray with some passion, but number two, we're going to have to pray with purity. You understand, he said, a righteous man. We're not going to be able to go to God in prayer and expect God to hear our prayer and answer our prayer as long as we come to the throne room of grace as a dirty vessel. Child of God, may we be reminded tonight, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I've got prayer requests in my life just like you have prayer requests in your life. And child of God, there's not a one of us that can afford for God to give a deaf ear to our prayer because of sin in our life. It's going to take some purity. It's going to take some passion. Number three, I see that James shows us and tells us and instructs us that there's going to have to be some persistence if we're going to have a powerful prayer life. Look at verse number 18 and notice what verse number 18 says. The Bible says, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The actual account of this prayer James references in this verse is found at the close of 1 Kings 18, We find that Elijah, he prays for God to stop the rain. There's a drought, and then he goes back and asks God to send the rain. And Elijah was praying for God to end the drought and send the rain. And as he prayed, he expected there to be some sign of the coming rain. So he sent his servant to check the sky over the sea. Six times that servant came back and said, I don't see anything. I don't even see a cloud. Yet the Bible says that Elijah sent him back each time and kept praying until finally he saw some evidence of rain. In other words, Elijah was persistent in his prayer life. He didn't give up when God did not immediately answer his request. He kept on praying. And I believe so many of us as God's children, we think that prayer works like everything else in our microwavable, high-speed internet, instant society, and we want answers now. But may we be reminded, God moves in a different pace, and we must continue to persist in our prayers. And child of God, can we be reminded tonight, when it seems like God is 4 days late, you mark it down, God's still always on time. Amen. Every single day of my life, I've shared it with you before. Every single day of my life, I pray for my daddy. I pray for my mama. I pray for Brad and Stephanie and Brianna and Hannah and Kim and Hunter and Chance and Noah and Devin and Macy and Terry and Jason and Jack and Brenda and Jason and Tina and Delana and Bailey and Clint and Missy and Taylor and Vivian and all the Dallas's, Upchurches, Earnhardt's, Faust and Delafield's. And I pray, God, I ask you to save the ones that are lost. And Lord, allow me to be a witness to the ones that are lost. And God, those that are saved, I pray that they live a life that will bring honor and glory to you. Some of those individuals that I mentioned, some of them are in the deepest, darkest, vilest sins that this world's ever seen. And I pray for them every single day that not only if they're lost for God to save them, if they're saved for them to come back to God and live a life that brings honor and glory to God. Some of those that I pray for every day, they know where I stand. And they know I stand against and I preach against the sin that they're living in even this tonight. But in recent days, as we were there in Memphis with my mom, I don't know what they were expecting for me to just take my Bible out in the hospital room and just start pointing my finger at them and preaching them. I didn't do that. I went over and put my arm around them, let them know I love them, been praying for them. And you know what? God melted their hard heart in that hospital room, and there was two nephews of mine that walked down with me as we were leaving for the night. I was going back to my motel. They were going back to the house. Both of them, as hard-hearted as they were, tears streaming down their face and say, Uncle Chris, I just don't feel like I can get out of the life that I'm living. And I said, you never get too far for the hand of God to bring you out of that horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set your feet upon a rock. They said, but Uncle Chris, I just want to thank you for praying for me. Can I say, my friend, been praying that prayer for my nephews now for these last 15 years. I've been traveling across the country. And can I say, you understand, God may not answer it in a day. God may not answer it in 48 hours. But you ever thought about this? As Abraham was praying and on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, God, don't be angry at thy servant. Would you spare the city for 50? And God said, I'll spare it for 50. And then he said, God, don't be angry at thy servant. Would you spare the city for 45? God said, I'll spare it for 45. God, would you spare it for 40? God, would you spare it for 35? God, would you spare it for 30? Would you spare it for 25? Would you spare it for 20? God, would you spare the city for 10 righteous? And God said, I'll spare the city for 10 righteous. I'm not trying to change the Word of God. I wouldn't dare do that. I'm not trying to add or take away from the Word of God. But I believe the same God that was merciful enough to say, I'll spare the city from 50 to 10 righteous, would have been the same God that would have spared the city for one righteous. And I understand that Lot wasn't living righteous, but the New Testament calls him Lot the righteous. And my friend, maybe, just maybe, the reason that some of your prayers or my prayers are not getting answered is because we stop praying before God's about to perform the miracle. We're going to have to be persistent in our prayer lives. And I finish. Not only is powerful praying not in talent, I sure am thankful for that. Powerful praying does take some toil. And third of all, powerful praying is God's tool. It's God's tool. Child of God, you ever thought about this? How many of us believe God's a prayer answering God? How many of us believe that? And He's answered. If you're saved by the grace of God, God has answered your prayer. Amen. But you ever thought about this? God never made a way for you and I to access the throne room of grace to see what we can get out of God, but for God to see what He can get out of us, our love, our dedication, our determination. It's been well said, it seems that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures. We're far too easily pleased. And I think one of the reasons that so many of us have ineffective prayer lives is not because we're asking too much in prayer, but rather we're not asking enough. We're far too easily pleased with prayer as a small tool. Many of our prayers are for things that could feasibly happen whether God answers them or not. We pray, Lord, give us a good day. Lord, help me get my work done. Lord, keep my kids safe. And I'm not belittling those answered prayers, but think about it. The way most of us use prayer is kind of like using a backhoe to plant flowers. It'll do the job, but it's designed for much bigger work than that. I want you to look back at our passage, and I want you to look at what I would consider the three most powerful words in the entire text. And it's found in verse number 18. For years, especially the first two or three years, I don't know if it's because of the life that God saved me from or what, but I still to this day, I have over 650 names on a list that I pray for on Saturday nights before my head hits the pillow of prodigals across the country. And in the first two or three years, people would come to me and say, Brother Dallas, would you pray for my wayward son? Would you pray for my wayward daughter? Brother Dallas, would you pray for my dad that's a drunkard? And with all the sincerity in all the world, I would look them in the eye and say, I'll pray for your brother. I'll pray for your sister. I'll pray for your dad. And I was as sincere as I could be. But it wasn't 2 minutes after they left, I forgot who they even told me to pray for. You understand, talking about praying is not praying. Intending on praying is not praying. Look what the Bible says, verse number 18. The Bible says, and he prayed. Maybe, just maybe, the reason you don't get your prayer answered and the reason I don't get some of my prayers answered is just simply because we're not offering those prayers to God. And maybe, just maybe tonight, you've been praying a prayer for years and years and years, and you think, man, God isn't even listening to your prayer. Here's another truth right here. Look at verse number 18. It not only says, and he prayed, but then it goes on to say, and he prayed again. Sometimes we're going to have to pray again and again and again. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the privilege, the capability of, Lord, even being able to spend time with you in prayer. And dear God, I pray that we as God's people would find ourselves on bended knee each and every single day. And I pray that our desire would be your desire, and your desire is to walk with us and talk with us along life's narrow way. Lord, I pray that I was a help to this service tonight, and I pray that you'd be with the remainder of this service, any congregational, any special music. And Lord, I pray that especially you'd be with Brother Davis as he stands to preach the Word of God. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you.